pray with me? Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to hear from heaven and healing. Our land will be healed as we hear from heaven. Lord, that needs to be done right now. And we believe in you and we trust you that you will bless us during this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message for this afternoon, Founding Father. Founding Father. For those who are guests with us, this time of the year, the Seventh-day Adventist Church emphasizes religious liberty. It's very dear to us as a church, and so the message is in the theme of religious liberty. And I hope in some point in the message you will understand why it's so important to us as a church. 1888 is also a significant date in the calendar of Seventh-day Adventists. For 1888, most of you could probably tell me, is when our church begin to emphasize, to talk about, to discuss the special message of righteousness by faith, which has certainly been a blessing to our church. Can you say amen? And it's even being discussed still today. But often, because of the importance of that date, we often miss this one. You see, in 1888, there was a new reflection going on, not just about righteousness by faith, but it also was the beginnings of religious liberty emphasis in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You see, in 1888, a newly formed religious group was starting to take shape. It was made up of Methodist Episcopal Church, the Baptist Home Missionary Society, made up also of the Presbyterian General Assembly, and the Lutheran Reformed Church. They formed a group entitled National Sabbath Committee. Now, you have to understand that for these particular groups, Sabbath to them was Sunday. So there was an emphasis there that they would change the laws of the land. They edged on by the Women's Christian Temperance Union. And so a bill was brought to Congress through a Senator Blair, and they asked Congress if they would institute a law so that mail would not be delivered on Sunday, so that the trains would not run on Sunday, and that the Army and Navy would not have parades on Sunday. But the problem, you see, we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians who believe in religious liberty, even though we may not necessarily agree about worship on the same day, we respect your right to do so. The problem with the Blair bill is that they wanted Seventh-day Adventists and any others who were Saturday Sabbath keepers, they wanted them to go along with their bill. And Adventists argued forcefully that just laws do not require an exemption, and that we affirmed religious liberty as an inalienable right, not just an act of government toleration. You see, one problem with governments, one government can make something a law, and the other one can come along when they get in office and change it. And so the Blair bill, thank the Lord, failed in Congress. And after that defeat, Seventh-day Adventists decided that we would form a permanent department to counteract the enforcement of Sunday observance. And we today still honor that once a year. We call it the Religious Liberty Department or Religious Liberty Association. Because we believe that religious liberty must rest upon a more durable foundation than human governments. I'm glad somebody said amen. And I declare this afternoon that religious liberty rests on God. And I'm going to dare to call him our founding father. Not founding fathers with an S, but founding father. Now, I know founding fathers is not politically correct. Because I know somebody is asking, what about the founding mothers? Yeah, that's the kind of world we live in. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about founding father. There is a difference. And I hope you'll get that difference today. I appreciate what our founding fathers did. But as I looked that up, I was really confused, and I couldn't find out how many of them they are. In fact, that's a coin, founding fathers, as coined by Warren G. Harding in 1916 at the Republican National Convention. That's where that term came from. And so I wasn't sure, because some they consider those who signed the Constitution founding fathers, some who signed the Declaration of Independence, and it varied, so I had no idea how many they are. But I'm not worried, because I rest my faith on the founding father. That's what my religious liberty rests on. Now, I know that those who signed the Constitution was made up of all different faiths, Protestants and Catholics and even deists. But I rest my faith on the founding father. Now, I need somebody to read for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. I need you to stand up and read that real loud. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Need someone to stand up? Okay, thank you. There is one Father. Did you know we are brothers and sisters? Amen. Did you know, even though I'm a different color than some of you, I'm your brother? Amen. Didn't you know that? And we're brothers and sisters. We have one Father. Amen. Just one. Oh, I'm glad you said amen about that. Now, I want you to turn also, if you would, and the other one you see, the scripture that was read, you don't have to turn there again. Isaiah 64 and verse 8, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are the works of your hands. We are brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, I'd like you to turn also to Malachi 2 and verse 10. Malachi 2 and verse 10. Need someone to stand up and read that for me. Malachi 2 and verse 10. Whoever gets that first, stand up and read that for me. All right, don't be bashful. All right, thank you. How many fathers? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do you. I couldn't keep my mouth closed. Oh, amen. Why do we do each other so way, such in such a way that's dishonoring? When we're brothers and sisters. We have how many fathers? One. Just one. And then 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Need someone to read that for me? 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Come on, before I call on somebody. Come on. Come on, Michael. You got that? Come on, stand up and read that for me.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God.
Amen.
Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not
Amen. The founding father is the founding father of us all. Every one of us. And God wanted to reveal himself to us as our creator. And guess how he reveals himself to us? Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. Now, somebody could probably read that, say it without even looking at it, but I'll have you look at it anyway. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. This is how the founding father of us all wants to reveal himself to us. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Need somebody to stand up and read that, all right? Certainly. What's the young man? What's your name? Calvin? Okay, I read it. Well done. When God wanted to reveal himself to us, he reveals himself. Now, this blows me away. You know, I like this building. Lawson's not here. I don't think he was in the first service. Lawson and a number of you actually did the physical building of this. They did a great job. But I hope that you are not narrow enough to think that God inhabits just this building. I hope that you're not that narrow. Do you know that when God wanted to reveal himself, he revealed himself in time? Holy time. That's how God revealed himself. In holy time. Because we're so caught up on material things. We'll look at a building and just assume that God is present because the building looks good. I hope you're not that narrow. God reveals himself in time. Holy time. Not a building, not a mountain, not a river. Time. You know why? Because you can't destroy time. No matter what you do, you cannot destroy it. Now, the devil will try to counterfeit it. The Bible even says in Daniel 7:25, they will think to change times and law. He can't even do it. Just think to change it. They'll try and counterfeit it, but you cannot counterfeit time. Holy time. So God reveals himself in time. You see, the time is an equalizer. I can't believe, most of you know how old I am anyway, but it got here quick. I want to hold it back, but it's moving. You know, the Sabbath, when it arrives, Sunset Friday, it's coming. Wherever you are and it arrives, it's here. And so I don't want to spend all 24 hours of that holy time in Walmart. It's important holy time. I want to be where God is. So the Sabbath reveals God in holy time, which means we can't change it. You see, the God who is the founder of us all and the God who reveals himself in the Sabbath is a God who has authority. And we can't change what is God's prerogative. No church can claim God's authority. You know, the argument we usually make regarding the Sabbath is probably a wrong argument. We usually argue for the day, and that's really a shallow argument. It's really not about the day. It's about the God behind the day. It's about God's authority. You see, if God would have made it Monday, then we'd be worshiping on Monday. Amen? That's not the day. He said the seventh day, so that's why we're here. But it's based on God's authority, not the day so much as God said it. He said it in his word. And liberty means that we don't have the authority to change what God has deemed so. So I don't care what the other religions argue. It's about God's authority. And you will find, as a human race, we have problems with authority. That's a difficult transition for us. Authority. In Revelation 13, and I don't have the time, in Revelation 14, you will find that God showed them in the last days that there would be a problem with his authority. He says, one day is the day of true worship. Somebody else says, well, I like another one. I'll take the other one. Can we really do that? Well, I'm here to tell you, Founding Father, the Sabbath is precious to Seventh-day Adventists. I'm never going to forget it. I'm just not. You God knew we were going to have a problem, because in Exodus chapter 20, what did he say in the fourth commandment? Remember, he must have known that we would get this thing off. We would have a problem with authority. He would try and change what he said, but I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to stop honoring holy time. It's in your word. You created it for our good. No other day. And I'm sorry, no other way. You are its founder, and we humbly obey in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, that's so simple. Alan and Krista Reinhart, who does a lot with religious liberty, edited a book entitled Politics and Prophecy. And he was sharing, and I needed to go over this again, why religious liberty is so important to Seventh-day Adventists. There was a lady in South Carolina named Adele Sherbert. She worked in a textile mill, and she went to her boss one Saturday, one day she went to her boss and said, I wanted Saturday off. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And so her boss fired her. Just like that. And so as she tried to get another job and employment, it was very difficult that she could get somebody to hire her with the kind of things that she was asking about getting Sabbath off. And so when she went to apply for unemployment benefits, the state of South Carolina said, you can't get unemployment benefits because you should have worked on Saturday, basically. And so, of course, that's going to end up in court, that kind of thinking, which it did. And you know what they found out when they started digging into the records? That if you didn't want to work because you believed Sunday was your day of worship, you got unemployment benefits. But when she made the decision that she couldn't work on Saturday because of religious belief, they didn't want to give her unemployment benefits. And, of course, that lost in the courts. I'm glad for that ruling. It just makes sense. And if it was the other way around, it would still make sense. We respect religious liberty. Even though we may not agree on the same day, I respect your right to worship when you believe. And that's why I say, see, I've been saying this for the 5 years I've been here, but this is really critical. We worship today because of the dictates of our conscience. Not just because Seventh-day Adventists say it. I hope you got that. You see, let's say that we lost our mind as a church and did like the worldwide Church of God and decided we don't not want to keep Seventh-day Sabbath anymore. We'll just start going on Sunday. That's what they did. And they've almost folded up. Oh, you can hardly find any of them anymore. Let's say that we lost our mind as a church and did that. You have to know, according to the dictates of your conscience, that this is right and you're going to do it no matter what. That's why I say that. This is not just about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We may lose our minds. Do you know, since that case in 1963, things have changed. And I don't have the time to go into the kind of court cases that have since come up. But I will tell you the belief of our states right now. And I'll read this to you just in the interest of time. This is based on a ruling by some Native Americans who believe, according to their religion, that they could take a particular drug. Okay? A hallucinogenic drug. He came back with a decision on that, and they said this: the free exercise does not relieve an individual of the obligation to comply with a valid and neutral law of general applicability. This means that regardless of your religious practice, when it applies to everyone, no matter the faith, the state can enforce it, regardless of the burden that it imposes on practice, even applying the law to trivial matters. That is the belief of the courts right now. You might think this is about, the issue is about a day, but it's about God and His authority over us. When you study the scriptures and go to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 21, you'll see both issues of authority being dealt with. Matthew chapter 4, the devil was challenging Jesus' authority. You see it all the time. Do you think the devil is going away with this issue? No. But Founding Father, I will not forget. May God keep me. I mean, I really mean that. May God keep me when these issues are brought to me. Okay? When they're brought to me, God keep me. Following what is the Word of God, what I know to be true. Oh, I can't tell you enough, our younger people. If we don't keep the Sabbath, there will come a time when somebody in our church will say, we don't need to do this anymore. You already hear little voices every now and then pop out. You teach your kids. You have them honor the Sabbath. Even though they don't understand it, they'll need to keep this. Thank you, Founding Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is more than about a day. This is about your way. This is about your will. Lord, we want to do what you want us to do because it's for our best. We know that about you because you love us with an everlasting love so much that you were willing to die for us. So, is it too much for us to bow our heads Sunset Friday and to bow our heads again Sunset Saturday? Is it too much to ask to worship you? We say no. We do this because we love you. And we respond to that gesture of love, the Sabbath. We thank you for being the founder of it. We thank you that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship you. We claim and hold that in Jesus' name. Amen.